Today we've come to a lesson that we read in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 10, a wonderful passage written by the Apostle Paul that has an answer that God gave to Paul's prayer of asking God to remove his thorn in the flesh, his suffering. And God answered, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness." That's what we want to consider this morning, so that also we might be encouraged when we are undergoing various sufferings in this life. When we think about this life, we realize, if we're honest, that we are born into a world and we live and die in a world that is filled with all different types of suffering. We often experience physical, mental, and emotional suffering of various degrees. And if we are Christians, it is added to our suffering the persecution that often comes for our faith in Jesus, because others are responding negatively to Jesus and express hostility toward us. In the midst of our sufferings, we often cry out to God for his help. We desire for God to remove our suffering. The pain seems like it is almost too much to bear many times, and possibly it is hindering us from doing those things in the service of God that we desire to do. But when God chooses not to remove our suffering, which sometimes he does, then we may become weak in our faith, or we may stop believing in God and seeking to be faithful to God at all. But what we learn is that Paul too had great suffering, and in the midst of that suffering, he asked God to remove his thorn in the flesh that was causing him so much disturbance. But instead of removing it, after Paul appealed to God three times, God gave Paul an answer that hopefully will encourage us as well. And the answer that he gave was, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness." And that's what we want to explore this morning. What does that mean? What is that about? How did that answer encourage the Apostle Paul to continue on in his service to Christ in spite of continued suffering that he would have to endure? What was Paul's thorn in the flesh? And why was it given to him? That's what we need to answer. And that's what we will look in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. "Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself." We pause and we are arrested by the question, much interested in the question, what was that thorn in the flesh that was causing the Apostle Paul so much pain? And then we come up with the answer that is a question mark. We just are not given the answer. There are those, even among Christians, who try to present in the context and beyond the evidence to show that his suffering might have been a physical ailment, such as headaches or eye infirmities or something of this nature. There are others that present what they perceive as the evidence that the sufferings that he is alluding to are the persecutions of by the Jews, and maybe as well as the Gentiles, of how many times he was persecuted and several times almost killed for his faith in Christ. But when it comes down to it, I don't believe we can necessarily infer from those lines of so-called evidence what exactly Paul is referring to by his thorn in the flesh. But it was something that caused him great pain. On some level, maybe on several levels. And the purpose of it is quite clear. Satan had a purpose, and God had a purpose. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Here is the purpose of Satan revealed. Although God allows the suffering, it is Satan who brings the thorn in the flesh. And Satan's purpose is to destroy the Apostle Paul, to get Paul to diminish or abandon his faith in Christ. And so there is the infliction of pain by the devil upon the Apostle. But overruling Satan's purpose is the divine purpose, and that purpose by God was to keep Paul from exalting himself. And that is something that we need to be aware of, and we may not think about very much. Spiritual pride, a self-righteous pride in the sense that we are proud of our obedience to God to such an extent that we have confidence in ourselves rather than in God for us to be righteous, for us to be right before Him. And Paul says to keep him humble before God, dependent upon God, trusting in God for his salvation rather than himself, then God allowed this thorn, this suffering, to remain so that that greater purpose could be fulfilled. And it tells us, reminds us of a principle in the Word of God, that God's purpose overrides Satan's purpose if we continue to trust and obey God in spite of all difficulties. Because in the end, God is forming a character, Christ-like character in us, that must involve the suffering of various trials, that we become patient and humble and thankful and dependent upon God rather than trusting in our own righteousness. Romans 8 and verse 28, Paul wrote, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him, to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be firstborn among many brethren. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified." In other words, God's intention and purpose is that we become like Jesus. And in spite of the sufferings that we go through, including death, God will work out that purpose of making us like Jesus, that He might be honored, if we continue trusting in Him and obeying His word. And so we are in this world not to receive all relief regarding suffering, but we are in this world to become like Jesus, that God may be honored. Paul in paradise had received inexpressible revelations from the Lord, a wonderful encounter or experience that he had gone through, and he writes about it in the first six verses of 2 Corinthians 12. "Boasting is necessary, though it is not profitable. But I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ," and we believe that this is Paul talking about himself, something that happened in the past. "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a man was caught up to the third heaven. And I know how such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which a man is not permitted to speak. On behalf of such a man I will boast, but on my own behalf I will not boast, except in regard to my weaknesses. For if I do wish to boast I will not be foolish, for I will be speaking the truth, but I refrain from this, so that no one will credit me with more than he sees in me or hears from me." So Paul says he refuses to boast even about those things that he heard and maybe saw in paradise in the realm of the departed spirits, comforted by God, awaiting judgment and eternal life, eternal glory. Paul said, "It was unlawful for me to speak these things, and I'm not going to, lest I be exalted or others exalt me as being above or what others are." So again, the greatest threat, it seems, to the apostles' spiritual well-being, his relationship with Jesus, was self-exaltation. And we can see why that would be the background of a Pharisee, where they boasted about their lineage and their Jewish ancestry and the keeping of the traditions that they held so dear, and trusted in their ability to follow all the will of God as they saw it. Paul says to keep me from exalting myself. I'm not going to boast about the things I heard or speak about them, but only in my sufferings, my weaknesses, lest I become exalted. What did Paul do about this suffering regarding the thorn in the flesh? Paul prayed 3 times for the Lord to remove the thorn. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 8, concerning this, I implored the Lord 3 times that it might leave me. And we can freely ask that the Lord relieve our suffering, and we often do, and sometimes by His grace He removes or greatly diminishes our suffering. And for that we ought to be thankful. But Paul asked the Lord to remove the suffering 3 times. But in this case, the Lord does not remove it. Instead, God gives an answer to the apostle. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. And He has said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. That is God's answer. You are more useful to me, Paul, if you undergo these sufferings, because I can still exercise my power in you, and in fact my power will be magnified in you, that others may see that power and, in spite of your weakness, you can be used. My grace, whatever I provide for you, is sufficient. And that is a wonderful answer. Just like God had used others in the past, Moses could not speak well. Moses at age 40 could not be used, but at age 80, he was used as the deliverer who brought the people out of Egypt by the power of God. God now using the Apostle Paul in his suffering to bring forth the Word of God across the Roman Empire. Paul realized that by the grace of God he was what he was. He had become the persecuted, and instead of the persecutor, he was being changed into the image of Jesus day by day. His mind being renewed by the Word of God, although his body was undergoing much suffering. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 9, For I am the least of the apostles, and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace toward me did not prove vain. But I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preached, and so you believed. Here is Paul indicating that by the grace of God, mercy has been extended through Jesus, forgiveness of sins through the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, and reign as King and Priest in heaven. And that by the gospel of His grace, Paul is being transformed into the image of Jesus, and Paul is bringing the message given by the Holy Spirit, the message of salvation, to Jew and Gentile across the Roman Empire. And in spite of his physical infirmities and the persecutions which raged against him, the gospel was being spoken by the apostle. And people were hearing and being converted to Christ. And then Christians were being matured in Christ and transformed by that same gospel. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6, Paul said, "For God, who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure, this gospel, in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be in God and not from ourselves. We are in our state of persecution and weakness so that the power of God may show that much brighter. The gospel may be that much more emphasized than us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you." Then in verse 16, "In the midst of all of this persecution and suffering, and yet the gospel still going forth, even the mind is being renewed," Paul said, "day by day, although the body is decaying and perishing." Verse 16, 2 Corinthians 4, "Therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen, are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And so Paul is saying the power of God is working in me, is working toward you in the preaching of the gospel. In spite of great suffering, God is being glorified, not Paul. And therefore Paul said, "I will boast, I will be content, I will boast." Paul would gladly boast about and be content in his weaknesses for Christ's sake. Because that is what it is about. How my life can be used to live for Christ and encourage others to be saved in and live for Christ. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, "And he has said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." God can still use me in spite of my sufferings. God is glorified. The gospel goes forth. people are saved and matured in Christ. Paul does not exalt himself or allow others to exalt him. God is to be exalted above all. While he was in prison in Rome, later the apostle wrote, Philippians 4 and verse 10, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Paul, content in serving Christ. Content in spite of his suffering. What does it mean for us today? Well, the simple lesson for us, even though our suffering can be great at times, even though God may not remove it, we can be assured that if we continue to trust in God and not in ourselves and obey as much as we are able his word, then we can be assured his grace is sufficient for us, not only to change us into the image of his son, forgive us of our sins, and continue to be with us, that he may be honored and glorified through us, and one day that we might be with him for eternity. His grace is sufficient for us, even if our suffering must remain. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. "You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen." And so we see that the grace of God allows the suffering to continue. Satan wants to destroy us. God wants to keep us from being exalted, so that we might be humble before God, dependent upon his grace, resisting Satan with God's help, becoming like Jesus with God's help, praying to God, casting our cares upon him, and trusting in his answer. And by his grace, we will be carried through this life. He will be exalted, not us. His purpose goes forth, that we might be saved and others might be saved through the gospel. And one day, we will be with him for eternity. Finally, Romans 8 and verse 35. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine? Or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. And as he said in verse 28, who works all things out for good to those who love God. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. With God's help, we can overcome and one day be with him in eternity if we humble ourselves before him, trust and obey, in spite of our suffering, depending upon him, his grace being sufficient that his power may work through us, that his word may work through us, his gospel of grace, that we might trust in him and become like him, encourage others to be saved by that gospel and continue to maturity in that gospel. The apostles' teaching found in the New Testament that one day we might be with him in eternal glory. Regarding the lesson, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Paul's thorn in the flesh was given that he might not be exalted, but that God might be honored and glorified, that the power of God might work through him. Paul asked for it to be removed 3 times, but God said, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Paul would boast and be glad and content in his weaknesses, humbling himself before God to continue to be dependent upon the grace of God working through him. His grace is sufficient for us today, even if our suffering remains, that we might honor and glorify God. Become like him now, that one day we might be with him for eternity. But this depends upon our relationship with Christ and whether we continue in him and his mercy. And it is sad to think that so many who believe they have become children of God have failed because they have been taught wrongly about how to become a Christian. It may be shocking. We don't say it as a personal attack, but we say it as a loving appeal and correction given in the gospel of his grace. We cannot become Christians by infant sprinkling or by the sinner's prayer, or by a number of means that are taught by people today and for many years. How do we become a Christian then? You say that can't be done. Well, what is the truth about becoming a Christian? Well, we can find it in 2 chapters. We can find it in more places in the book of Acts, but we point out Acts chapters 2 and 8. Acts chapters 2 and 8, where when they heard about Jesus being the Son of God, that he is God along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, that he is now Lord of heaven and earth after living a righteous life and dying on the cross, the sinless Lamb of God for the sins of the world, God raised him from the dead and exalted him to his right hand, where he is ruling as king and priest now. When they believed in Jesus, they were commanded to repent of their sins, turn from Satan to God, confess their faith in Jesus as the Son of God, and be baptized, immersed in water, for the forgiveness of their sins in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, this is when they became Christians. This is how they became Christians. At the point of a penitent faith, confessing Jesus and leading them to being baptized, that is when they became children of God, went from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of Jesus. We would encourage you to express your faith in this way, trusting in God through the blood of Jesus to save you before it is ever too late, and we would be glad to help you if you would contact us by phone, email, or text. Even studying remotely with you by Zoom or trying to find other means to help you learn more about the truth, always willing and glad to answer questions that may come up. And as we become Christians, we meet together with other Christians following the apostles' teaching, Acts 2:41 through the end of the chapter. Following that teaching in the New Testament rather than the traditions of men that are promoted by denominations world over. And as we grow as Christians, becoming like Jesus in an application of the Word of God, the power working in us, trusting in God, not in ourselves, even if we suffer in this life, then we often fall short of His will by sinning. And when we sin as Christians, we are to repent and pray, confessing our sins to God as often as needed. Acts chapter 8, verse 18 through 24, 1 John chapter 1, that we might continue on in Jesus, that one day we might be with Him. We would encourage you to respond to the gospel invitation. We would be glad to help if you would contact us. We would encourage you now, while today we draw our lesson to a close.